Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Where in the world is Lauren Majera? Where is she? It's a question that we carried us through the summer, part of the spring. Where are you now? Where have you been, young lady? Do I sound like your dad when you were like 17?
No, my dad knows better. They have my location on my iPhone by now.
That's awesome.
They don't even bother asking. So currently, I am in Denver looking at the majestic Rocky Mountains. Man, Colorado has been so beautiful. So I was in Las Vegas visiting my older sister, who I've mentioned before. She's a Cirque du Soleil acrobat. I was visiting her for her 40th birthday. We did some really cool things in Las Vegas. I got to tell you about those. But right now I'm in Colorado. So I came in to visit my best friends who are from Chicago. They picked me up. We went straight to Vail. Hiking in the mountains with their tough little four-year-old. I mean, this kid braved the mountain. Like, there are people walking by us in Vail, huffing and puffing, thinking, like, there's no way this four-year-old is hiking these mountains with us. But it was so beautiful. Colorado is gorgeous, man. I went to a White Sox-Rockies game the other day.
Yeah, what'd you think of Coors Field?
Colorado for now.
Yeah, what'd you think of Coors Field?
It was the first time I had ever been there, and I love it. And you know what is funny is I was posting on Instagram that I was there, and Chris Borstad, who's a former reliever from the White Sox, actually messaged me and said, I loved and hated playing in that stadium at the same time. One, the endurance always got to me because of the altitude, but two, the ball flies like lightning in that thin mountain air. So I thought that was really interesting. I liked it. I thought it was a beautiful ballpark. It was cool. Like I said, we're with my friend's cute little four-year-old, so there's a playground there for her. We sat in the beating sun, and then it was interesting. If you go in the outfield, like all the way around the ballpark, there's this really unique rooftop up that I guess you can buy general admission tickets to and just hang out up there, and you're out of the sun and you're in the crisp mountain air. And you can go back to the outfield and you can watch the players warming up in the bullpen, which is something that's pretty unique to a stadium. So it was cool.
It's really fun to go to different baseball parks. And this one's got, I can't remember what it's called. It's like a little pond or something. Like, you know, sometimes the balls go in there. What is that? The little stream thing like in the outfield?
Yeah. I remember because I've always wanted to visit the stadium as I've seen it on TV because I see the waterfall and in the pond. I think they changed it. Because when I walked back there, it was completely different. It was all green, and then the pond was in, like, the back more.
Oh.
So I think they changed it a little bit. I was really confused. But, it's a gorgeous ballpark. I mean, obviously I was disappointed in the way the game went. I went to the day game, but it's the White Sox for you, man. They've been struggling.
You did not bring them good luck. There were three games out there. Is that one of the ones they lost?
It was the day game. Thank you so much, Dave.
All right. Did you at least have a Coors something, like a Coors Banquet or a Coors Light? Because that's a beer everywhere.
Of course. Of course I did. You know what? We've talked about this. I am not much of a beer drinker.
No, you're not.
If I do drink beer, it's going to be Coors Light. And you know what? It's really nice. The ballpark, it's not like Wrigley where you get old style or old style,
no.
You know, you get Coors Light. I think there's White Claw and Topo Chico are your options. But it was so hot. We got a couple of lemonades and they have fresh squeezed lemonade. And I mean, it was just a clean. Oh, this is one of my favorite parks. We all know I'm a huge foodie. They have frozen strawberries and frozen banana that is dipped in chocolate on like a skewer.
Oh, nice. Oh, I love that. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah,
and
I know.
It's frozen and dipped, so it's like nice in the heat of the sun.
We usually talk about the football stadium food, but baseball stadium equally can be fun depending on what city you go to. So was that the highlight? Like what else did they have that was interesting?
I would say the chocolate-covered strawberries and banana on the skewer was really cool. Yeah. Obviously, the ice-cold Coors Light with the mountains in the background, it's amazing. But if you want to talk about really cool experiences, I got to tell you about something I did in Las Vegas.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't go to Las Vegas to gamble and go clubbing. That is not my scene. I go to do outdoorsy things. So, you know, we rented a boat on the Colorado River. We hiked the hot springs. That was fun. But you and I are both foodies, so you would appreciate this.
Mm-hmm.
We went to a restaurant called Blackout Dining in the Dark. It's actually not too far from Caesar's Palace. Now, you are served dinner in pitch black.
Oh, really?
You have no depth perception. You completely lose your...
Wow, I've never heard of this. Wow, okay.
I haven't either. And so my sister and I looked into it, and I guess they have other locations where the servers are actually blind, and so they can perfectly serve you.
Wow.
But you have lost your sense of sight as well. So the location that we were at, the servers had night vision goggles. But it's so interesting, because when you lose 100% of your depth perception and your sight, your other senses become way more inhibited. I can hear the other table's clank of a fork or their chatter so much more vividly. The food tastes so much more...
Yeah, the sensory.
Intense.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so interesting because you lose your sense of depth, your sense of perception. Like when I went to go butter my bread, I accidentally buttered my hand. When I went to go take a sip of my water, I actually missed my mouth.
You've done that after a couple... drinks anyway.
Dinner in the blackout is very different, dining. But it's just so interesting because you completely lose all perception. You're completely, disoriented, and it's just because of the dark. I mean, I was just drinking water because I really wanted to experience this in full. Like, I'm feeling all around the table just to find my fork. I thought that I was cutting food on my plate. I go to lick my fork. I'm, reaching for my mouth. There's nothing on my fork. You're so disoriented, and it made the dining experience that much more intense. It was a really cool experience.
Like, how long did it take for you to settle in? Like, was it half hour?
No,
freaked
I
out?
I was on the edge until the end. Yeah, I was on the edge until the end. Like, I felt disoriented.
Okay.
And it's a 7-course meal, and you can't see what you're being served. So
oh.
You kind of, you don't really want to, touch your food because you don't know if it's soup or a salad or, sushi, but... You kind of can feel with your utensils, and I would kind of smell my plate and, feel around with my utensils.
Really,
and when you bring it to your mouth, you have no idea what you're about to put in your mouth. And it's so strange because something that my sister will simply be like, this is Caesar salad. I was like, what are you talking about? This is lobster bisque. It's crazy. If you have to go to Las Vegas for a work thing, and you're like me, where you're not crazy about gambling and clubbing, This was a really cool experience.
And what is it called again?
Blackout Dining in the Dark. And now, like I said, it wasn't too far from Caesar's Palace.
Was there any of the food, I would expect this, when you left and got out into the nightlife or daylight and you could see again, did you notice half the, anything on your, whatever you were wearing or no?
No, I did need to wash my hands.
Okay.
But I shockingly, my dress was not too badly stained.
That's awesome.
From who knows what I ate.
Yeah, that's awesome. So Vegas, and you are, when I go there and I do go there for business often, the maximum, did you put anything in the slot machine?
No, it's not my style. I like my money where I can see it.
$20. That's all I will do. That has always been my rule for
my style.
Ever and ever. And I love seeing shows out there. Yep, I do love the dining. Did you go to In-N-Out Burger at least once when you were there?
I didn't, no, but I did go see my sister's Cirque du Soleil show. So it was wonderful. After the pandemic, because they were shut, Cirque du Soleil was shut down for so many months. It was wonderful to get to see my sister perform again. She's in the show Ka out of MGM. So it was really fun to get to see her perform again after so many years.
I love how you always say...
We boated the Colorado River and we hiked up to Hot Springs, which sounded fun in theory, except it was 112 degrees out and we're hiking on this boiling hot rock to boiling Hot Springs. Why would I do that to myself? It was like
that's your
taking
thing.
A dip in lava on the face of the sun.
Yeah, but you love that stuff. And I love how you always refer to your sister every time as my older sister. I'm sure she loves that.
Of course. We cannot be confused. No. I don't need anyone asking who's older or younger. I will make it evidently clear.
That's awesome. I love that. Hey, we're talking to Lauren Majere. She's back with us tonight. And there's more with her next on 720 WGN. All right, Dave Plyer, Lauren Majere, 720 WGN. So we're talking a little bit sports. Let's fit some sports into this conversation, just a little bit.
That's how our partnership started, which is so funny because we're always so easily distracted.
Yes, I love it. Football in Chicago. So I think, the mayor has made, and I say this because I feel it's a little too late, it's pretty lame, attempt to keep the Bears at Soldier Field. Look, they're gone. And, you know, I'm looking at these options and looking at these drawings about installing a dome or creating the capacity to do so in this, you know, fan experience renovation. Could cost between $900 million and $2.2 billion to complete. The third proposes this flexible multi-sport layout for concerts and other tourist draws, which I think they're going to have to do anyway when the Bears do go. But what have you thought of the plans and what you've seen so far with Lori Lightfoot?
It just is blowing my mind a little bit because the team already agreed to purchase Arlington Racecourse.
Yeah.
The Bears even reissued the same statement that they did earlier this month and pointed to the agreement that it signed to purchase Arlington Racecourse for $197.2 million. Now, the Bears even flat out said in the statement, the only potential project the Chicago Bears are exploring for a new stadium development is Arlington Park. As part of our mutual agreement with the seller of the property, we are not pursuing alternative stadium deals or sites, including renovations at Soldier Field while under contract. But, you know, the mayor still introduced these three options, which is building a dome or keeping the stadium an open air concept with the ability to add a dome. It's only going to increase capacity from, might I add, the NFL lowest, 61,500 to 70,000. But the third option means that the stadium could be renovated to continue hosting the MLS Chicago Fire or other events,
right,
such as college football games, concerts, you know, the things that stadiums can be used for, but a total cost of $2.2 billion. Now, I find it interesting. This is a great proposal. And 20 years ago.
Yeah, right. I know.
In my opinion. Now, the biggest thing, in my opinion, is let us not forget what the mayor said last summer about the Bears moving to Arlington Heights. She quote on said it was a negotiating tactic. And like most Bears fans, we want the organization to focus on putting a winning team on the field, beating the Packers finally, and being relevant past October.
But you know,
I'm sorry, I don't know if most Bears fans forgot that she said that. I certainly haven't as a Bears fan, not to mention a journalist.
No, she also said that they couldn't call themselves Chicago, which we already identified. There's a bunch of teams out there that or their stadium is nowhere near the town that they represent. You know, no one's going to call them the Arlington Heights Bears. It's going to be the Chicago Bears. And, you know,
the L.A. Rams are in Inglewood. The New York Jets are nowhere near New York City.
Right, exactly. So this deal that they have, they would break their lease. You know, it runs through 2033. I mean, people might not remember that, but the earliest team they could exit is 2026, which is not that far away, really, when you think about this. And they'll probably have to pay about, I don't know, between $75 and $85 million to exit the contract. But you know how much these new stadiums, these football stadiums, have cost across the country. I think the West Coast, you told me, it was billions, $5 billion, something like that. This $84 million is going to be nothing.
I couldn't agree. Let us repeat. The Bears flat out said multiple times the only potential project the Bears are exploring for a new stadium development is Arlington Park. So,
hope they have nice.
What it is at this point.
Hope they have nice deep pockets.
Yeah, they have deep pockets. Yeah, there's the voice from the abyss. Here he comes.
I mean, really deep pockets.
Yeah, they have them. They have them. Training camp underway too. You know, first preseason game is 2 weeks. 2 weeks football in Chicago.
Chicago's thriving. I mean, they are so excited about Bears football returning because there's so much hope and so much promise between this new regime. I would say the biggest thing that stands out from training camp is the secondary thriving. Listen, Eddie Jackson already has 2 Pro Bowls in 5 seasons. Obviously, Jalen Johnson brings a lot to the table. Even Cooper Kupp said that Jalen Johnson was one of the best cornerbacks that he faced last year, so he's returning. And then looking at the rookies, Gordon and Brisker, their high second-round picks, they bring a lot to the table. Each of them already have picked up Justin Fields at training camp, and I hope that says a lot more about their rookie talent than rookies picking up their starting quarterback. But rookie Brisker's been spending a lot of time at Eddie Jackson for tutoring and game film. They call him the old man's house, but that says a lot about what this secondary can bring. And I think that so far out of training camp this week, that is like the biggest thing that you can take out of what the Bears have to offer.
I also think, though, we have to prepare ourselves. Like, you know, you talk about, you know, last season we were gearing up for football. You know, there's an excitement and you really feel it. And you try to feel it throughout the whole season. We kind of know this is a rebuilding year. And I'm kind of preparing myself of that going in? Like, I kind of go in blind sometimes, but I kind of know, rebuilding.
Right. That's why I decided to focus on, like, a really bright light.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot that you can critique. There's going to be some growing pains. We know that. Let's show them some grace. Let them have their growing pains. Let them grow into their potential and what this Bears offense can be. But for the time being, I know I'm focusing on how good the secondary potential is.
We got about a minute left. You texted me earlier today about Wilson Contreras, who's, you know, obviously the MLB trade deadline is coming up this Tuesday, late in the day. Probably the best, you know, guy available in the market, best bat. And there's a lot of people after him, but the Cubs did something to take him off something today, right?
Well, that's interesting. Like you said, you bring that up. I texted you about it. You know, teams have to keep in mind that introducing a new catcher can be tricky. It takes time to learn a new pitching staff. But like you said, he's a good at-bat. He's arguably one of the best catchers available in the market. So it's possible that teams could DH him either way. He took Cubs off his Instagram. That says a lot. I know a lot of professional athletes will tell me off of the record that the way that they portray themselves on social media does in fact have to do with what is happening in reality.
Yeah.
I remember Allen Robinson told me that when he was still with Jacksonville, he posted a picture wearing a Cubs jersey to indirectly say, I want to play for the Bears. So the reality of players' Instagram is in fact indicative of what could possibly happen in the future. So the fact that Wilson Contreras took that he played for the Cubs off of his Instagram bio, I think speaks volumes.
Lauren Majera, when are you back? October? Are you still on your world tour for a while here?
I'm on my world tour. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
While I've been here, there, and everywhere, when I was in Alaska earlier this year, I didn't get to hit the river because I was standing up in weddings, I was hiking, I was camping, I was on helicopters, I was in private planes going over glaciers. I got to catch some fish.
You got to go fishing.
Alaska. Yeah. I got to hit the river, and the sockeye run has been enormous this year. So I'm going to take my fly rod, put on my waders, hit the river, slam them hard, and bring home some fresh salmon to the WGN Radio studios.
I love it. Let's do that. All right. Have a great one. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk next week.
Thank you so much. Talk soon.
See you, Lauren.